The first scripture this morning is from Psalm 116, verses 1 through 7. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord protects the simple. When I was brought low, God saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from Luke, and it's the parable commonly known as the friend at midnight. I've used a more modern translation from the new, revised, extended, updated, wonderful edition, and I think it helps. And Jesus said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot give up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not and give him anything out of friendship, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, would give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, would you give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord. I'm a gardener. I don't make a lot of pretense that I'm not, but some of you are too. So how many of you were perusing the vegetable and flower catalogs since January? You know, come on, you admit it, you know who you are. You look for them right after Christmas, even if you don't plant anymore, you like to go through them and clutch them to your heart every time the temperatures went below 40 degrees. You circle plants you like and even maybe bought some at the local nursery. And while your inner voice or maybe a loved one's voice says, oh no, not again. Why do we do it? Especially those of us who are vegetable gardeners. Despite the troubles and catastrophes of last year, every year we do it all over again. Well, here are some reasons you can give to all those who question your sanity as you fill out your plant and seed order and go to the nursery to buy plants. You grow vegetables because you can't quite afford a boat, but you have a desperate need to show your neighbors that you still know how to foolishly waste time and money in a really pointless manner. You want a handy excuse to avoid going to those tedious family reunions. Sorry, I just transplanted all my tomato plants, and it's going to be really dry. I have to stay here and take care of them. You have a great reason to rent or buy a big tiller and thus use a really noisy, dangerous piece of gas-powered equipment. You'll be able to cut the family food bill by a good $40 to $50 this year while spending less than the cost of a new car to grow your own tomatoes and vegetables. Seriously, the reason we gardeners do it is because we get something mystical and wonderful from it. And we think we can do better this year, that this year will be different. And we find that our small successes, like a good golf outing, brings us back one more time. Now, seeking a connection to God is a lot like growing tomatoes. It takes planning, work, and commitment. But it takes something else. It takes support. Anyone who has ever grown tomatoes knows that those cute little plants you put in the ground are just the beginning. I mean, how hard could it be to grow tomatoes? All you do is plant the little plant in the ground. You did prepare the ground, didn't you? And then you water and fertilize them. How much? Then wonder of wonder, those little tykes, they start to grow, and we think, whoopee, it worked. And then the plants start to fall over and sprawl over the ground. All our beautiful tomatoes, blah, in the dirt. So we better get a trellis to help support those branches. And one day, we see a little yellow flower, and then more, and then the first little wee green tomato. Don't get distracted. We'll probably have to put on some netting or have to use some insect control on the plant. It's true. You have to be a little crazy to grow tomatoes. Have you ever seen a lovely red tomato in your salad and then you've bitten into it and it tasted like cardboard? Have you ever gone out to your own tomato patch and plucked off a ripe, juicy tomato? What does it smell like? And when it sits in your salad or on your sandwich, what does it taste like? Like heaven, pure heaven. And that's why we grow tomatoes, for the heavenly taste and all those wonderful vitamins and minerals as well. And that's why we develop a prayer life. We're looking for that little piece of heaven. We're looking for that connection with God that makes life worth living, that gives us the strength to go on and gives us peace amid the whirlwind of life in the D.C. metro area. It gives us guidance when we are making choices or wondering which way to go, or when we've been flattened by life. And if you're going to grow a prayer life, you'd better learn the basics to get started. And then you'll need to know some of the helpful hints that help you get through the obstacles you will inevitably encounter. You also need to hang around others who are growing their prayer life. In short, you'd better get some help. If you're going to resist the call of Babylon or get up from the pit that you've fallen into, the distractions of media and the pull of the rat race, you will need a prayer life. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You cannot be a devoted disciple of Christ without it. It's not possible. And you cannot resist the siren call of DC or the internet to overwork, overcompete, over everything without a close connection to God. And silence, solitude, and prayer are the way to do it. So just like growing tomatoes, we need to prepare the ground of our prayer life. First, you're going to have to find a time and a place to be by yourself every day. Like brushing your teeth, right? You brush your teeth. You need to do it at least once a day. And like brushing your teeth, it doesn't count if I do it or a loved one or a friend does it. You need to do it for yourself. When can you pray? In the morning, before your day gets started? If you're too rushed in the morning, in the evening? If you're too pooped in the evening, maybe another time, maybe a time after dinner, or maybe when you're taking a lunch break, or walking the dog, or weeding the garden. But find a time every day, and usually doing it the same time every day is helpful, and commit to it every day. Where can you be alone with God? I mean, some people can sit in a metro car and wrap themselves up in solitude and silence, and I admit I can't do that. I need to be completely alone. I need to have silence, but I don't have to be still. In fact, being still just doesn't work for me. ADHD. I pray best when moving, walking, weeding, cleaning, some repetitive task. I find a place where you can be alone with God in silence and go there every day. Be still if you need to be still, or do something repetitive, but be there every day. Solitude, silence, and prayer, they all go together. It's been scientifically proven that tomatoes grow better with some support than without one. I even had a fellow vegetable gardener last year do an experiment, and he let some of his tomato plants sprawl all over the ground. Now, the yield was good, but much less than the ones he had on a support. So we too need support from our prayer life. Think of your commitment to finding time and a place to be in solitude and silence with God as preparing the ground. Think of the help you receive as your trellis, your support. And your support can be a commitment to meet with a prayer partner or group to study and pray. We have a group going now on Tuesday evenings. We're going to take a break for the summer, and I'd like to redesign that time and start it back up in the fall. You can find a mentor or a prayer partner and commit to meeting with them regularly. There's nothing like a little bit of accountability to help us get started and stick to it. Your support can be prepared media. You know, because, you know, when you start to pray and you do that, you know, you think, am I done yet? And it's been 2 minutes. Am I done yet? Don't worry. You'll get there. It's like a muscle. Work. And we have many helpful books in our church library. You can read the Psalms, especially when you feel that your prayers are drying up. I like Eugene Peterson's paraphrase because it's in a modern Latin English language that sounds like something I might say. I can point you to a lot of different devotionals to use wherever you are on your prayer journey, just beginning, going, coming back to it after a long time. Feeling stalled and dry? I have a favorite series that helps keep me going. Check out William Barclay's Daily Study Bible. It comes in little things. It was written in the 1930s in England when they had paper shortages. So the book is there, and he has one for each book of the Bible. And for every passage, he has a page, page and a half of commentary that is very insightful and will sort of get you going. And it was so popular in its day, and it still is, that there are many inexpensive used copies you can get in online bookstores. Thrift Books is Abe's Books online. They got them. And just get your favorite book of the Bible. There's another one. If you are a techie and you want to do something online or in your car, be careful praying while you're driving, please. Try Pray As You Go on the internet. Pray-as-you-go. Pray as you go with dashes in between the words. It's a free podcast. It takes 10 to 12 minutes to do. It has music from all over the world, people with lovely English and Irish accents reading the scripture. It's a guided thing. It's the way of Ignatius prayer. It works since the, 400s, and it still works now. It's great. However you begin and keep going, you do need a specific practice. Prayers, like prize-winning tomatoes, don't just happen. It takes preparation, commitment, and practice in being in silence, solitude, and prayer. It's like the situation one elderly man found him in. He always grew prize-winning tomatoes, but he just got to the point where he just could not till the ground anymore. It was just beyond him. And his son, Jim, who used to do that for him the past couple years, had gotten himself in trouble with the law and was now spending a little time in jail. The old man emailed his son in prison, lamenting the fact that he couldn't have his tomato garden this year, to which the young man replied in an email of his own, Dear Dad, I'm sorry I can't help you this year, but whatever you do, do not dig up the garden. That's where I buried the bodies. Love, Jim. Well, the next day, the police, the FBI, Homeland Security, they descended on the man's yard. They dug up the entire yard, didn't find anything, and left. And the following day, Jim emailed his father saying, "Dear Dad, go ahead and plant your tomatoes now. It's the best I could do. Love, Jim." People of God, there is no way that you can withstand the pull of the way of life of the D.C. metro area on your own. And although it's not all bad, we can admit before God, it's not all good either. At its best, it's public-spirited, sacrificial, and equitable. At its worst, it's egocentric, exploitive, and overcompetitive about self-serving things. God has instituted a Sabbath to give you time to have a life with God so you can have the best life elsewhere, to have a time of rest and refreshment, to have a time to connect with family and friends. Without it, we die, sometimes by inches, but we wither and die. And if you want to teach your kids, your grandkids, your neighbors, people on the street, something about the Christian life, teach them how to be with God, however they imagine that, on a regular basis. Trust me, Grandpa, Auntie, Mom, you have something valuable to pass on. That's a lifesaver. It will save their lives. But you can't pass on what you do not have yourself. Now take the long day of Sabbath and map out some time in your daily life to have a mini Sabbath, a prayer life in solitude, silence, and prayer where you can be upheld by God, to find strength, patience, peace, mercy, justice, joy, to become more and more the people, the church, the nation God has called us to be. And the blessings will be abundant, like tomatoes on a well-tended vine in July. Amen.